Please open your Bibles to the book of Mark, the 14th chapter. Mark 14. In your Schofield Reference Bible, page 1065. And beginning with the 35th verse, we'll read through verse 38. Just these four verses, we'll read them responsively. The 37th verse is a text verse. We'll turn to one other verse in the Bible a little later in the book of 1 Corinthians. But let's all stand, please, for the reading of God's Word. And he went forward a little and fell on the ground and prayed that, if it were possible, the hour might pass from him. And he said, Abba, Father, all things are possible unto thee. Take away this cup from me. Nevertheless, not what I will, but what thou wilt. And he cometh and findeth them sleeping, and saith unto Peter, Simon, sleepest thou? Couldst not thou watch 1 hour? Watch ye and pray, lest ye enter into temptation. The spirit truly is ready, but the flesh is weak. Turn now to the book of 1 Corinthians, the 10th chapter, and the 13th verse, page 1220 in your Schofield Bible. 1 Corinthians 10:13, page 1220. Let's read the verse together. Ready? There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. And let's pray. And Father, we pray for your special closeness during this time, to realize that you're with us. Where two or three are gathered in thy name, thou art with them, and we're gathered in thy name today, these hundreds and thousands of people. Truly, you're with us, and we're thankful. Now we pray that in our meeting together, we would please thee in the preaching and in the hearing of thy word. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen.
I have something for you. I cannot give it to you unless you listen carefully. And we're a little bit late, of course, as we always are on the Lord's Supper morning. So I'll have to squeeze the message a little tighter this morning, or more tightly. And I ask you, if you would, to let me help you, please. I want to speak this morning on the subject, you're stronger than you think you are. You're stronger than you think you are. The statement I want to start with is this one. But God is faithful, who will not, notice the future tense, he will not, in the future, suffer you to be tempted above that ye are, present tense, able. Don't forget that. He will not, future tense, suffer you to be tempted or tested above that ye are. Didn't say he will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye will be able to bear. He said no. He will not suffer you, future tense, to be tempted or tested above that ye are, present tense, able to bear. That's the main thing I want to say. I want to speak on the subject, you are stronger than you think you are. Father, bless, I pray, our discussion this morning. And in these next 20, 25 minutes or so, I pray you to help my people to so listen so that I can give them what you have for them today to give through this unworthy servant. Bless, please, in a special way. Amen. He said, he will not suffer you. Future tense, in the future, he will not suffer you to be tested or tempted or burdened or trialed above that ye are now able to bear. It is the night before the crucifixion. He takes Peter, James, and John into the Garden of Gethsemane. He has just left the upper room. He just did what we did a while ago. And they have taken the supper. He then takes Peter, James, and John a little farther as he goes to the Garden of Gethsemane. He leaves them and goes a little farther himself. And as he prays He wrestles with eternity. While he's gone, they fall asleep. Now bear in mind, this is the time of his greatest need. And these, the greatest three, of the greatest 12, of the greatest people in the world, at the greatest moment of need, are sound asleep. Jesus comes and finds them asleep at the hour of his need. What utter failures they are. I mean, this is the three greatest Christians in the world that have been chosen from those that have been chosen. And now it's Calvary time. They knew this was going to come. He said, except the grain of wheat die and fall on the ground, abide it alone. He was talking about his death. He spoke about, destroy this temple, and I'll raise it again after 3 days. This spake he concerning his coming death. They knew that. Now they're there. This is final examination time. This is testing time. And these, Peter, the man who preached on Pentecost, John, the disciple whom Jesus loved, and James, one of the greatest pastors that ever lived, are in the garden asleep. Now, wait a minute. In just a few days, these same men turned the world upside down for God. Did you hear what I said? In just a few days, these men, who at the time their Savior needed them the most, turned the world upside down for God. They take the message of redeeming grace, literally transform an entire world and influence that world for 2,000 years and whatever rest God determines to give this world. Now, follow me. And the strange thing about this, now boy, if you can get this, this will shock you. The strange thing about this is that these men who just a few hours ago were sleeping, cursing, denying, forsaking, all of a sudden, a few hours later, are taking the message of grace, they're fighting battles, they're facing the guillotine, they're facing the sword, they're dying for the gospel, they're facing tribunals, they're facing persecution, and they stand like rocks of Gibraltar. Now, the strange thing about this is that the best days of their stand came after he was gone. Think about that. Why, you'd think it'd be easier to stand while he was there. But now he's gone. And these men reached their greatness not while the Savior was there, but after he was gone. Now why? Why did they rise to such heights when he was gone? Well, they had no one to fall back on. If they're in a storm in a boat, nobody's there to steal the storm but them. If somebody's sick, nobody's there to heal it but them. I mean, he's not there anymore. So what happened? They weren't stronger without him. Now, hear me carefully. They weren't stronger. You mean they were stronger without him? Oh, no. 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 They were just as strong while he was there. But the truth is, they simply had to use the strength now that they already had. They had no choice. I mean, now then, he's gone. They don't have his personal presence to lean on. They don't have him in the back of the boat. They don't have him to feed the 5,000. They don't have him to walk on the water. They don't have him to reach out and touch them. They don't have his breast to lean on. They don't hear his voice. Now, they already had the strength. Are you listening? They already had the strength. But they did not have to use the strength before. But now that he is gone, of necessity, they must use the strength that they already had before he left. Now, for the first time, by the way, hadn't they always slept while he prayed? What's so unusual about that? Every night he went to the Garden of Gethsemane to pray, and they went home to bed. This is nothing unusual. Why should they not sleep now while he prays? Had they not always slept while he prayed? And now he's gone. And these same, here, this same fella who cursed and said while he was here, I don't know him. I'm not with them. I don't believe that. Now then, he preaches on Pentecost and 3,000 people get saved and he becomes the first pope. Just want to see if you're listening. Now, that's the same fella. Did he have more power there? No, he had the same power he had before. This same fella who doubted him, who denied him, in just a few days, he too is crucified upside down and also has nails in his hands and feet. Why? Because he died for the cause. This same fella who doubted him while he was at this time, Thomas. Why, Thomas, in a few days, will go to India. And there, he'll preach and proclaim the message of grace. And he'll be persecuted. And he'll die a martyr's death. Why, he didn't even believe back yonder when Jesus was here. Now he's gone, he dies for him. Why? I'll tell you why. Because there's no Jesus here now, physically. And all of a sudden, they said, we have got to garner the strength that we've had all along. And we've got to use that strength. And the truth is, they had strength they did not know they had. They didn't know they had this kind of strength. They did not know what influence his teaching had done for these 3.5 years. They did not know what influence his preaching had had on them for these 3.5 years. And now suddenly, they're walking alone. They're soloing, if you please. He's gone. And all of a sudden, they call on this great resource of strength that they did not know they had. And they preach, and they face tribunals, and they're persecuted, and they're hated, and they're cursed, and they go right ahead and preach, and the Bible said, these, they turn the world upside down. What with? With the strength they did not know they had till he was gone. So do you. So do you. You have strength you don't know you have. And so will you, when you need to use it, have it available, and you'll use it. They had strength they did not know they had because they hadn't had to use it yet, and so do you, and so will you. Many of you are coming to your first big burden. You're coming to your first big battle in life. You're coming to your first big heartache in life, and they will come. You don't know how you can endure it, but you can. You don't know how you'll have strength to bear it, but you will. Because you already have strength to bear it. Let me illustrate. That giggly little teenage girl with the earthquake for a room in a few months will walk the hospital hallway or the path to a grave and be a soldier of strength and of courage. You see, you'll be surprised how much you can take when you have to take it. All of these sermons you've heard me preach through these years that you didn't even think you needed are being stored up. All of these Bible studies you've been hearing on Wednesday night, they're being stored up. You don't know you have the strength. I couldn't take what she's taking. Oh, yes, you could. I couldn't bear what he's bearing. Oh, yes, you could. I couldn't hold up under his load. Oh, yes, you could. Oh, yes, you could. Because you are stronger than you think you are. There has been a reservoir of truth, of Bible preaching, of Bible teaching, of home training, of Christian school teachers that have been feeding into you and pouring into you, and that has been turned to a great magazine of weapons and defense that you don't know you have. And I'll promise you, that burden there hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not in the future suffer you to be tempted above that ye are in the present able to bear.
I'm saying you have a strength you don't know about. And as you face today that first real burden of your life, you're a young married man, young married couple, young married lady, and all of a sudden you face for the first time that heartache. You've never walked the floor of a hospital before. You've never walked away from the silent city of the dead before. You've never felt the burden before. You've never felt the pain and the heartache of a battle before. You've never felt the enemy's knife before. You've never felt the cold blade of persecution before. But all of a sudden, there comes that first real burden of your life. And you say, I don't think I can bear it. Oh, yes, you can bear it. Oh, yes, you can. Because God has been storing up in you an energy. Or I say, you've heard the story, didn't you? It's an old one, and I shouldn't even stop to tell it. Because it's sort of, but you heard about the fellow. Hey, he's a black fellow, Stan. Was walking through the cemetery down south one time. And there was an open grave, and he fell into that open grave. And if you've heard it, it's still worth thinking about again. But he fell into that open grave. It was midnight. Oh, he was scared to death. There he was, lying down at the bottom of the open grave. Another dear black brother was walking through the cemetery. He likewise came near this open sepulcher. And he likewise fell in on top of the other fellow who was there. The first fellow was horrified. He just stayed still. The second fellow thought he was on top of a corpse. So he tried to get out. He jumped. He jumped. He jumped. He jumped. But he couldn't get out. But all of a sudden the fellow who was beneath him said, Hey, fella, there's no use in trying. You can't get out of here. But he did. But he did. He had strength he didn't know about. Yeah. They call that potential energy. I hold the all-time 100-yard dash record, but folks don't know about it. It was when I had a paper out one time and a bulldog got after me. And my potential energy took over. And I ran 100 yards, 8.7. I'm saying that God in heaven sees these men, and he sees, Jesus sees them sleeping while he's there. He sees them cursing while he's there. He sees them denying him while he's there. And all of a sudden he's gone, and they face the knife and the blade and the guillotine and the sword and death and martyrdom. And these same stumbling, fumbling, cursing, denying, doubting men turn the whole world upside down for God. Why? Because they had a strength they did not know they had. You don't hang around Jesus 3.5 years without getting some strength you don't know about. And after 3.5 years of walking with him, all of a sudden he's gone. They have no breast on which to lean. They have no arm that'll protect them. They have no voice to calm the storm. They have no Savior to still the wave. They have nobody to feed the 5,000. Now, what he has done is in their hands. And all of a sudden these men stop and realize that there was a power that we had built up in us. And let me say, ladies and gentlemen, as you face the burden, as you face the heartache, as you face the temptation, let me tell you something. You have the power that's necessary to face it. You don't know that you do, but you do. And you will. That lazy, restless high school boy that you think is headed for the insane asylum, or he's headed for the penitentiary and you're headed for the insane asylum. I saw a crowd of those boys save a nation one time. I saw a crowd of 17, 18-year-old kids whose mom and dad thought were going to be flops and failures, who didn't clean their room, who didn't want to take the garbage out. I saw the Fuhrer Hitler march with his goose-stepping army toward England and toward Europe. And I saw the bomb bombs dropping on Pearl Harbor, and we dug down into the homes of our land and lifted out our 17, 18-year-old boys, irresponsible boys we thought would amount to nothing, and those boys went overseas and saved our future and our nation. Why? Because they had a strength they did not know they had. That young, demerit, clogged, lovesick preacher boy at Hiles Anderson College will soon take his stand against the forces of hell. He doesn't know he has the power now. He doesn't know he has the strength now. He doesn't know he has the courage now. He hadn't got the courage to face Dr. Jorgensen with his demerit. Personally, I'd rather face the enemy. I'd rather face the booger man than Jim Jorgensen with demerits. I mean the other booger man. But all of a sudden, that young fella who walked the halls of Hiles Anderson College, winking at the blondes and flirting with the brunettes, dating the redheads. That young fella that barely got through school and you thought he'd never make it. All of a sudden, he's out in the field somewhere. He's pastor of a church. All of a sudden, the devil starts attacking him. And all of a sudden, the enemy comes with his avalanche of opposition. And that same little old tow-headed kid that sat in class and went to sleep while you taught, all of a sudden, he's thrust into his first real burden, his first real heartache, his first real battle. And all of a sudden, that little scroungy kid becomes a prophet of God, takes his stand, and fights the hordes of hell. Why? He had some strength he didn't know he had. You got your first burden coming? Just go right on into it. Let it come. You've got some strength you don't know you have. I was preaching for a Hiles Anderson College graduate a year or two ago. He had let me borrow a car. He was a very young man. I guess he wasn't 25, 26 years of age. When he was in Hiles Anderson College, nobody thought he'd amount to much. He was a non-entity. Now he's pastoring a church. I was preaching for him. I borrowed a car. I decided to come up in the afternoon and walk around the church building. I drove up to the church building, walked down the hallways, and I heard a voice saying, "Oh God, oh God, oh God." And I followed best I could my hearing to that voice. It was the voice of this young man who just a few years ago was at the Valentine banquet at Hiles Anderson College, a few days ago really. All of a sudden now, he's a man of God on his face and saying, "Oh, God, you've got to help me. Oh, God, I've got battles to fight. I don't know how to fight them. I've got burdens to bear. I don't know how to bear them. You've got to help me." And that man was like Elijah, praying for God's power and God's strength and God's help and God to give the victory. And he was in the battle, and he was fighting the battle, and he was facing the enemy, and he was facing opposition, and he was bearing the burdens. How did he do it? How did he do it? There was some strength he had he didn't know he had. So is there in you. Don't you run from your burden. You've got some strength you don't know is there. You've got some potential energy you've not used yet. Why, here's Peter out cursing and swearing and denying the faith, denying the Savior, denying he belongs to the church. About 50 days later, he's having 3,000 people saved while he's preaching. What's the difference? Jesus is gone. He had to face the enemy by himself. And what do? You look the burden square in the eye and say, "Come ahead." And you just keep on going. Now listen carefully. Some of you have been in the battle a long time. Some of you are acquainted with burdens. You've had to carry burdens for months or maybe years or maybe decades. Now you're facing this morning a burden the lack of which you've not faced before. I want to tell you something. You can face the next one. You can face the next one. He will not, future tense, suffer you to be tested above that ye are, present tense, able. Listen. You are able to bear your burden. You are able to fight your battle. You are able to face that problem. How can I face it when my loved one dies? You are able. and He will not place any burden on you in the future but what you are able to bear. Now listen carefully to this. You decide not to face that burden. Now you need what I'm going to say right now, you need more than you need most anything in this world right this minute. Listen. You face that burden and you face that battle and you retreat. Now you listen carefully. You will, now the place to which you retreat will still have burdens. And in your retreat, you'll get weaker. And the burden in the place, oh, I wish somebody listen to what I'm saying. The burden at the place of retreat is bigger than the burden you're facing now. So you'll face a burden at least equal to what you're facing now with a strength that is less than you have now. So the easiest burden for you to bear is the one you bear now. The easiest battle to fight is the one you fight now. For if you limp back from the battle you face now, if you limp back and refuse to fight it, you're not going to go where there are no burdens. And so you'll face the burden back there with less strength than you have now. What you better do is say, I've got a burden, I've got a problem, I've got a heartache, I've got a battle, and I am going to keep going forward. And as you keep going forward, you will be amazed how much strength you'll have. Why? Because you have it now. These little kids, pardon me for saying kids, but to us older folks, they are. They go to Hammond Baptist High School now. You stop and realize that in just a few years, those precious little girls will have babies, and some of those little girls will have husbands who will forsake them and husbands who will beat them. And some of those little old girls that now lead the cheers at the basketball games will have broken hearts in a matter of a few months. And aren't we amazed at how they take it? Could that be the little harebrained gal that grew up in my house? Could it be true? Could that man of God that's standing behind that pulpit there fighting the forces of hell, could that be the guy that used to make the Korean War look like it was mild compared to his bedroom? Could it be? Yes, it can be. It's our job to fortify them while they're here. Don't be discouraged. Keep on preaching to them. They're listening to it. More of it's getting in than you think. Ed Lapina says that to me often. Preach, don't get discouraged preaching to our teenagers. They're listening more than you think they are. I hope so. Don't get discouraged. Keep on teaching. Keep on loving. Keep on praying. Keep on training. Why? Because they got to have strength. Strength for now, or strength for the inevitable. The burden that is going to come. The problem that's going to come. The battle that's going to come. Don't you run from it. Somebody says, well, I'm just not going to come to church anymore. I can't face the people. Yes, you can. Oh, yes, you can. Oh, yes, you can. You can face them. Well, I'm ashamed of what's happened to me or my family. I can't take it. I can't face it. Oh, yes, you can. Your strongest is now. And you will never be able to retreat to where there are no problems. No burdens, no heartaches, or no battles. Now, listen carefully. I'll quit. You get stronger for stronger battles, and you get weaker for weaker battles. And as you fight bigger battles, you get stronger for bigger battles. But if you decide not to face the bigger battle and pull back and retreat, the weaker battle, if there is such, that battle to which you retreat will be more lopsided against you than the battle you face now. For once you run from battles, you're in the habit of running from battles, and you'll keep going back and keep going back and keep going back. Before you know it, you'll be too weak to face any battle at all, and your life is wasted and ruined and wrecked. Now, you listen to me. You look square in the eye at the battle. Listen, God knows what you can bear, and God knows who you are. and you look square in the eye at that battle you're facing, and you say, battle, I don't know how I can win you, but here I come. And burden, I don't know how I can bear you, but here I lift. And problem, I don't know how I can solve you, but here I try. And all of a sudden, you will get in the midst of that battle, and strength will come. And you'll wonder where you got it. You've had it. God has given it to you. Listen, this sermon right here, it'll be in your subconscious mind. And one of these days, you'll pick this sermon out when you're in a battle, and it'll strengthen you. You have the strength now. Getting it now. That's why you ought not to miss church. That's why you shouldn't be absent on Sunday night or Wednesday night. What I'm going to preach tonight, you need it. What I'm going to say Wednesday night, you need it. And if you don't need it now, by cracky, you will need it. What you better do is get fortified. These men, couldst thou not stay awake for 1 hour? 1 little hour. What will you do when I'm gone? We'll turn the world upside down, I think. Russell Anderson's favorite story. He tells it across the country. You've heard it. And I've heard it. It was about the fellow who applied for a job as custodian of First Baptist Church of Hammond. He came in to apply for the church. This is not a true story. He came in to apply, as the story goes, for the custodian's job at First Baptist Church. And as Brother Russell tells it, Brother Heil said, okay, we'll hire you. Just sign your name right here and we'll hire you. And the fellow says, I can't sign my name. I can't write. And the pastor said, well, if you can't write, we can't hire you as custodian here. We will not have a custodian that can't write. Fellow doesn't get the job. Goes outside. He has a nickel. He buys an apple. Fellow comes along and is hungry, so I'll give you a dime for that apple. You got a dime for the apple. He went back and bought 2 apples. Sold both those for a dime. Went back and bought 4 apples. Sold those. Started him a little fruit stand. That fruit stand became a fruit store. That store became a chain of stores. The guy made $1 million. He went down to the bank, deposited $1 million. Banker said, okay, just sign right here and we'll put the money in the bank. $1 million. He said, I can't write. He said, you can't write and you made $1 million? He said, that's right. Wow, he said, you made $1 million and you can't write. Where would you be if you could write? He said, custodian down at First Baptist Church. If you can't stay awake an hour, what you going to do when he's gone? We're going to turn the world upside down. You curse while he's here, what you going to do while he's gone? We're going to face the guillotine. You can't take it while he's here. How are you going to take it while he's gone? We got to take it while he's gone. We got to take it. We had the power before, but we didn't have to use it. He was here. But now we have to use that power we have. Are you facing your first real burden? Go right on. Go right on. You have more strength than you think you have. Are you facing a burden? You faced burdens before by the dozens maybe, or the car loads, and all of a sudden you're facing a heavier burden you've ever faced before? Go right on. You say, I don't see how I can take it. You don't have to see how you can take it. Go right on. Go right on. I just can't take any more. Oh, yes, you can. Oh, yes, you can. Well, I've gone as far as I can go. Oh, no, you haven't. No, you haven't. You may go as far as you're going, but you have not gone as far as you can go. You may take all you're going to take, but you have not taken all you can take. There is no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able. So you can take it. So you can take it. I'm not making light of your burden. God knows I hurt with you. I cry with you. I mean that. But I'm just trying to tell you, folks, that life, there comes a place in life where you got to do it alone. Jesus is gone now. He's there in spirit. His Holy Spirit is there. But no longer can they hear His voice speak audibly. No longer can they put their hands in His. No longer can they feel His arm around their shoulder. No longer can they see Him as He's in the boat to still the storm. No longer can they see Him take 5 loaves and 2 fishes and feed 5,000. They can't do that anymore. He's gone. And all of a sudden, they face the enemy for the first time alone. And Peter looks around and sees nobody behind him. He says, come on. Just come on. And John looks around and sees nobody behind him. Says, come on here too. Come on. They said, you decide what you're going to do with us, magistrates, but we cannot but speak the things we've seen and heard. We'll put you in jail. What you going to do? Keep on preaching. Yeah, well, we'll beat you with a cat of nine tails. What you going to do? Keep on preaching. We'll kill you. What you going to do? Preach till you kill us. Same little old guys that couldn't sleep for 1 hour. Why? Because blessed be God. God has fortified us for the burden. And God has fortified us for the battle. So you just keep on fighting. And keep on going. And keep on hurting. And keep on marching. For you have more strength than you think you have. Father, bless the message this morning. To the hearts and lives of thousands of people who are about to turn back. Can't take it any longer. Can't fight the battle anymore. Burdens too heavy to bear. Show them the folly of that. The utter, ridiculous folly.